There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is.
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
I mean, turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yeah, Dalton, you ought to come in here and see this machine. It's turned a new color. It can't even keep up with me. We got to get some faster equipment so we can say...
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
Okay, well, that's a good inversion. I think what we're talking about today to start off Midday Mobile is a not-so-good inversion. Hey, that's part of today's show, but a lot more happening over the next 2 hours of live local talk. Of course, you're a big part of the show when you call 343-0106 when you text that same number. Let me suggest, too, that you go ahead and put that in your contacts. FM Talk 106.5, right there in your telephone contacts. Phone number, if you're new around here, we're in the 251. Although that's supposed to change, isn't it? Are we supposed to add something? 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 in contacts. All right. Coming up, we will talk some bridge toll. Of course, that'll be part of our conversation. Also, Fight or Die, the team of veterans that last year rode over from, you know, just from the Canary Islands, just from the other side of the Atlantic into the Windward Islands. They're going to talk a little bit more about last year's mission and what happens this year. Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die will join us in the 1 o'clock hour here on Midday Mobile. And yeah, the mention of the inversion. I know that Bond inversion sounds like a move that he did in Octopussy. Diamonds Are Forever. Maybe that's when he did the Bond inversion. But what happened here on the Bond inversion is something not exactly the same. All right, so the main yield curve rate inverted. I know, it sounds like snore, you know, a slobber coming out your mouth. But what does this mean? Well, how about the simplistic way to look at it is it's a warning of a recession. But. It can happen without a recession. How about this? When there is a recession, it is preceded with this inversion. But every time the inversion's happened, it has not always led to a recession. It does a lot of times. The yield on the benchmark 10-year T-note, Treasury note, was at 1.623%, below the 2-year yield at 1.634%. In other words, right, you would like those numbers to be the opposite. You would have your 2-year yield, you now have your 10-year not having as good of a yield as your 2-year. The last inversion of this part of the yield curve was in December of 2005, according to a story from CNBC. That was 2 years before the recession brought on by the financial crisis hit. A recession occurs on average 22 months following such an inversion. So that's the yield curve inversion. It is a harbinger of things possibly to come down the road. Of course, there's two parts of this. Number one, there's just the basic metrics of the market, what's important to investment and retirement, money, business. There's also a political angle to it. Hey, there's a political angle to everything. But in this, the opponent right now, the opponent President Trump should be most worried about is not Joe Biden, is not Kamala Harris, is not Elizabeth Warren. It's a bad economy. It's a bad economy. And if that's happening in 2020, it is a tough headwind for President Trump to fight. Not saying he couldn't win re-election during a bad economy, but it would be tough. And that's what we're looking at right now. The market is absolutely chicken little, full chicken little mode. Although, come back a little bit down. Dow is down 718 right now. Let's see, S&P down 80.63, NASDAQ 24.36. Now, yes, that is in correction territory. I guess that's bear. Yeah, I guess there's a ratio that's a bear market for right now. I've watched this market. I've been out of equities since January, and I've watched this market get close to flirting with this and then come right back the next day. We've watched it come and go. So to say that it's going to follow some kind of track record of markets in the past, I don't think you can do that. You've got to look at it, though, and say it's a serious issue here. And you look at lending rates, look at how the Fed's involved in this. And you know, listen, we can talk conspiracies and say the people at the Fed don't like President Trump, so they're going to do everything they can to make the wheels come off the economy going into 2020. Maybe, but there are also some metrics of this economy that I don't think are in control of the Fed or control of the president that have probably been needing a correction, needing a reset here for a while. So we'll watch how this plays out. But a bad day in the markets right now. We've had a couple of them over the last week and a half, and another one today. But I want to do this. So let's say that this is really a harbinger. In other words, in this case, this yield inversion is signaling a recession. That it's true, that the advertisements are true. It's as advertised that when you 22 months usually after you get this inversion, you get a, and some variance there, 22 months is probably just average. Some variance after that, you get a recession. All right, so your President Trump and the Republicans in Washington, and I'm about to make this relevant, even more relevant to home than just the fact that this is your retirement, this is your jobs, this is the economy that we all take part in as Americans. But let's make it connected to how heading this off could maybe help us here locally. What happened last time? What happened in 07? Remember TARP? Remember the bailouts? Remember all the federal money poured into the system? Well, what if you see this coming? What if you see this coming? And we know that President Trump has talked about it. He talked about it on the campaign trail. He's talked about it since. It's one of the reasons there's a lot of us that say, hey, Governor Ivey and all, why don't you slow down and wait to see what happens in 2020 and see if there maybe could be some more federal funding for the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project? I didn't think that there would be anything happen with this in an election year because the Democrats not wanting to give a win to the president. But what if the president did his famous deal-making and wheeling and dealing with Democrats into a infrastructure program? Because, the Americans' appetite, if they go in and try to bail out banks again at this point or try to... I'll hold your pitchfork or your torch, okay? But what if the federal government, and we get... Some Democrats enough to work with Republicans, move forward on pushing a very big, and this is Keynesian economics, this is against my by better ideals for national politics, but maybe here locally, they move forward with a big spending project for infrastructure in an attempt to head off what they could be 22 months away from today. You get the yield inversion, you get, here comes this chance for a recession 22 months after the yield curve inversion. And they say, here's how we're going to do it. Here's what we're going to put into the system. Here's how we're going to flush money into the system to prevent the recession that is showing signs here 22 months out. And they do that through not just the billion-dollar infrastructure project that President Trump had talked about. They're going to say, to heck with that. If a billion's good, $2 billion's better. $2.5 billion. Why don't you make it bigger? Why, in this point, If the markets are reacting like this, and we go a few more days, and once again, you can watch the markets, and sometimes they follow the track that you would expect, and sometimes over the last couple of years, they do things that leave me baffled. But if this truly is that harbinger of the recession 22 months down the road, and they're trying in Washington to steer the ship, why wouldn't they move forward with an infrastructure spending project? What better? What better to lift the economy? What better to buoy the economy? What better for banks out there? Well, don't get me started on helping banks. But here's a way you can help banks and make them happy without just handing over money like they did in 07. So what if Congress moved forward with the infrastructure spending and did it now? did it when they get back to work in Washington. Maybe this is something that's implemented in 2020. Democrats want to get on board and say, hey, we're doing this for the American people. We're beyond, worrying about the presidency. We're going to do this because we know, the last thing we want to see is Americans suffering out there. Whatever BS they want to roll out, they can roll out in this. And you get an infrastructure spending project even bigger than anything the president had talked about on the campaign trail, because you get United Voices doing this in an attempt to head off a recession. And in that way, a national action to deal with a international financial situation could end up getting us a few more shekels right here in South Alabama for a bridge. What do you think, huh? I'll ask that question to Dr. Lou Campomenosi. He joins us. We got lots to talk about going forward on the show. Y'all stay close. We will be right back. I got to go buy some stocks.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And Dr. Bill here shortly. Get a little more on the forecast. Hot day again today, but the showers are coming to help us a little bit with that. And then maybe some drier air by the weekend. I'll get more from him coming up in just a little bit. All right, joining us from the Common Sense Campaign, also a man you heard right here on this show a couple weeks ago, hosting the show, my buddy Dr. Lou Campomenosi joins us now. Hey, Dr. Lou.
Hey, Sean. Good to be back on. You know, actually, I mean, I'm ready to come back on if you want to take a vacation for a couple of days. I do.
I got something we'll talk about towards Labor Day. I'll call you later on. I'd love to have you back on. Okay. And but we can talk, and folks can talk with you tomorrow night out at the Five Rivers Center on the Causeway. Tell folks what's going on.
Exactly. Well, what we're trying to do is have a public hearing on the I-10 Mobile Bridge project, okay? And the intent here is not just to have a complaint session. What we're trying to do and what we will do is pass out 3x5 cards, and we're going to have pens for everybody. You don't have to bring a pen, and get their input in terms of how would you improve this plan. Okay, we're going to take all those cards in, and then I'm going to make sure that the people who submit cards that will screen those cards, but people will be able to come to the microphone and articulate in a 2 or 3 minute session what their game plan is. We also have a secondary, aim here, and that's to let people come forward and talk about, just how financially troubling it is for each of them, their families, if you have to pay an extra $90 a month to do the toll. I saw someone on the TV on Channel 15 last night, and they were, this guy was saying, look, this is not good for me, my family, we can't do this, So that I think those kind of testimonies are an important part of this. And I think that Ziegler especially is afraid that the people in Montgomery aren't hearing it. I think my feeling is that they've heard it, they don't care, and that is a problem.
Yeah, I'm on board with you. It's the old, you're hearing me but not listening, or you're hearing but not listening. And it seems like whether it's the op-ed the governor put out last week that came out in Yellowhammer, or even like yesterday talking to State Rep Shane Stringer about the conversation they had, the South Alabama delegation had with the governor, it sounds like she's there to kind of just buy time and say, yes, I've heard the concerns of these people, but that the concrete set up, it seems like the concrete is set up on this one.
Well, I think that's more than likely the case. But I do think that because of all the pushback, and I think that right now, by the time October 7th comes around, we're running ads in North Alabama. We just started in Montgomery. It'll be tomorrow, I think. But we've been in Huntsville and in Birmingham for the last 2 weeks. And my argument here is that, in another month and a half, 2 months, you're going to have a groundswell coming out of North Alabama that could very well land on Montgomery. They have to listen to these folks because that's where most of these Republicans are. I mean, we have this inequality issue in terms of, draw the line from Tuscaloosa to Montgomery, and north of that is where most of the GOP voters are. We understand that, but nevertheless, the fact that not only are we doing the radio ads, you have Dean Young's proposition to have a no-toll constitutional amendment. Now, let's just assume for a second that goes through. These P3 people, all these concessionaires, they have got to be watching this. And I think that's the subtext of what we're trying to do, is not only get Montgomery's attention, but we're also trying to get the concessionaire's attention, that this is not a done deal, that you can invest your money here and you may find yourself in a real problem, especially if we can get the constitutional amendment onto the ballot for 2020. That's really where we're going with it, I think.
But that, I mean, Dr. Liu, I mean, I like that too, but that takes 60%. We can't get, I mean, heck, anybody to agree in Montgomery hardly at all anymore, unless it's a gas tax. But, I mean, you know, you get 60% for a CA, and I think the challenge for that CA would to be get on the ballot. If it gets on the ballot, it ends up, it passes.
Yeah, but I agree.
I don't know that it can get to the ballot.
Here's the Liu theory here, okay?
Okay.
And I've said this to a lot of different people during our forums when we were, you know, having the Senate election and all like that. My feeling is that if you can get enough people to support you in a filibuster, you shut the Senate down, and guess what? Then you have a bargaining position. Mm-hmm. Now, that takes 15. I understand that. But if these North Alabama senators who are conservative, and listen, Al Britton had 21-0 on the contract committee when they said no to going forward to getting the Aldott lawyers for the negotiations. I think that they're listening to this, and I think that in the next 6 to 8 weeks, they may be listening even more. So it's not out of the realm of possibility of getting that 15 that you need to keep the filibuster going. And if we shut the Senate down, then, hey, that's their problem. We'll do what we have to do, and maybe then they'll come to their senses and say, okay, we'll make an agreement here, shut the filibuster down, we'll put the constitutional amendment on the block and see what happens with it.
So, that's a good way to find interesting, because I didn't know where we were going to get the leverage from, but that may be the play.
Well, you see, Sean, that takes a lot of political courage, and I think what's happening is that in too many cases, and I will say this in with good faith in the source. Okay, last week, last Friday, before whenever it was. It was Monday before the first Tuesday meeting of the Baldwin County Commission. Someone called one of the commissioners and told that commissioner, if you guys go through with a no-toll resolution, there will be consequences for Baldwin County. Now, they're playing hardball for Montgomery on this. And, you know, if that's the name of the game, then we have to be prepared to play hardball too, and that in my view means that the senators, you can't get this. I don't think you could get the margins in the House. It's just too much cats and dogs. But in the Senate, you can find 15 hardcore senators that are willing to stand up and say no to this kind of stuff. And if they do, then we have a chance.
And if you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Liu Campominosi from the Common Sense Campaign, event tomorrow night, and I like this, 4:30 to 8:00. But you said this, this is not. And this is important because I know people are frustrated in all this, and I deal with this like you do on the radio. But tomorrow night is not a complaint fest. It's not just, it's actually putting some real ideas, not some kind of ridiculous idea, putting a real idea on a 3x5 card, right? I mean, you want people thinking.
Yes, that's exactly it. And I'm going to hand out the flyer that I sent to you, and I will cover a few points about this. And one of the things I say, this is not a complaint fest, so please send your complaints to Governor Ivey, not us tonight. And I gave her number there. So, I mean, but it's a good faith effort on our part to reach out to the public and say, okay, here's what we're trying to do tonight. Let's get on board with this. Let's have a unified Mobile, you know, Baldwin County approach to this and see where it goes from there. But I do think that, you know, people are fed up with this. And I think that the public hearing is going to be a good opportunity to do more than just complain. And I'm hoping that's what will happen. But let me just say this, too. As far as the timing on this goes, I'm asking our volunteers from the Common Sense Campaign to be there at 4:30. The thing actually starts at 6 to 8. I know people will come early, so we want to be prepared for that. But I would just urge the public just to come early enough to get a seat, but don't show up at 3 o'clock like you do for Trump rallies, because that's right. What's not it, okay?
Yeah, yeah, so. And it's hot out there. So, yeah, y'all, I mean, it's,
right.
6 to 8 is, we need you there by 6. But, you know, I would have, one part of this, something you and I have talked about in the past, I have just a little bit of time here, but I feel this is so innocuous, but it was something quickly dismissed by the governor in an op-ed, and it sounds like she's done it elsewhere. And it's kind of what I was talking about in my opening segment, is waiting 1 year. What the heck? I mean, she said in her op-ed that we've gone 25 years, so we can't wait another year. It seems like asking to wait a year, that is a reasonable thing to see if there's more money on the table. I don't know why we wouldn't
wait. You're absolutely right. And here's the reason why, you know, what she's saying doesn't make any sense at all, okay? ALDOT was supposed to be starting this project in August of 2020. In July 17th meeting, they pushed it back to the fall of 2020. Guess what? The election is the fall of 2020. If they've already pushed it back till then, why in the world not wait until at least January or February, when the outlines of whether Trump gets reelected and the infrastructure plan that you were talking about, whether or not they get an infrastructure plan or not, you have something that Senator Jones put out, which was what, $280 billion or something like that?
Yep.
I mean, that's real money. That could be there. And that's what we're asking for. But you know what? The insane part of this is that real, responsible people have found the money. And this is the issue, that Director Cooper's arrogance and his unwillingness to listen is creating this issue that it's toll or no bridge. And that's an absurd choice. Why in the world do that when you've got responsible senators who are saying the money is there,
we can
bond $1 billion and get on with it.
All right, Dr. Lou, thank you. Got to run here. Heartbreak time. Thanks.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. The password is correction. Watching the markets today, and it kind of blends in with a little bit of talking about the toll. Just an idea here. If we're seeing this harbinger, right, of a recession coming, we don't know how deep. We don't, and maybe doesn't happen. But if the federal government, using Keynesian philosophy here, tries to do something to keep the market on pace. What better for a populist president than an infrastructure project? Hard hats and building and repaving and bridges going up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it has all the trappings of what any populist president would want. If he can get this done, is this just another reason that we should cool our jets a little bit, cool our heels, and wait to see if there's some more federal money coming in for a bridge project? Like Lou said there, that this idea that's being painted that you're either pro-toll or anti-bridge, what a ham-fisted way to look at things, and what a disingenuous way to frame the argument, because I'm somebody who believes in the bridge. I want to see the bridge. I want to see more lanes on the Bayway. I want more infrastructure here. I just want to make sure we're looking at other ways to pay for it other than the way this deal is. We're getting to discuss the deal as it sits or nothing, versus saying, hey, here's some other ways we could do it. And that's not part of the conversation. And Roy says, it smells like hope and change, fairy dust, but they do like to spend money up there. Sure they do. They like to spend money in Washington. And what if that comes in the form of the biggest infrastructure plan we've seen in decades in this country? And it could be more money. And then we'd already be locked into a bridge thing with a toll, and we'd be going, if we'd have just waited. Oh, thanks, Cher. And Cher was, I got some more information on this as well. She was saying the other day, you know, it's not just $6. It could be $9 to cross. And so here's the deal. If you don't have one of the transponders under their plan, if you don't have a transponder and you go through, in other words, they got to mail you. So you go through, they take your picture of your plate, right, and go to send you a bill for crossing the bridge, crossing underneath on the tunnel, whatever you're doing, it'll be $9 because it's $6 for the toll and a $3, I don't think, I want to call it a convenience fee, because I always laugh when you see that. It's a convenience fee. I think they call it administrative fee. to be able to run your plate, get your information, and then mail you the bill. So it'll actually be $9. It's something that has not been widely publicized, but $9 is what it'll cost if you don't have a transponder. How about that? So we're all hung up on six. If you don't have the transponder, it'll be $9. All right, let's see. Yeah, Crypto Marine, our buddy, saying some people look at it as $90 a month for a family. For my sister, it would be $270 a month because she and her husband and their son have to come back and forth across the bay every day. Yeah, that's right. It's by vehicle $90 a month. Supermom asking, where's the meeting? Okay, it's at Five Rivers Center. And yeah, there's several buildings here. Supermom, I think it's going to be in that far right-hand building where the, you know, they have the little auditorium and the stage and the projector screen and all that. So it would be the furthest east building is my best guess. But, I mean, if you pull in the parking lot at Five Rivers Center, you'll figure it, you know, you'll figure out where everybody is. But I think that's, I think it's going to be in the farthest east building. And it goes on from 6 to 8 tomorrow night out at the Five Rivers Center. And we'll remind you more about this on tomorrow's show. Texter says, problem with the no-toll amendment is it'll happen after contracts have been signed and can be amended to exclude current projects. Yeah, or like Jeff Poor said this morning, I thought this was interesting. If they really wanted to not do the will of the people, they could take a section, I guess the bridge section, and not call it interstate. They could say the section from where it comes off at Virginia and goes back onto the Bayway, that section would be an Alabama highway, because the constitutional amendment is specific to ban tolls on federal roads in the state. That's that CA we were talking about. Its language is specific to federal roads. So what if they just said that section right there is not federal road, it's Alabama highway, whatever. So Alabama Highway 9 for $9, whatever it is. And then they say, well, that, you know, so at that point you have workarounds, which is, I mean, once again, contrary to what the people want. And we're seeing some of that. All right. Let's see here. Steve is doubling up. He said, just think if we get a recession and a hurricane to knock down the Bayway. we'll talk more about that coming up. There's, I'm embargoed a little bit, but there's some news coming out on that, Steve, that's gonna rock this whole story here pretty soon. Pretty soon. Yes, Jace is on board like he always is. I like the way his mind works on how to get around it. Toll by plate sounds like a reason to drive around with a paper dealer lot tag like half of the other cars around Mobile. was somebody chiming on Facebook? They're saying, okay, I can't. I know we have a lot of different platforms out there and ways to get at us. Probably during the show, texting me at 343-0106 is the best way. 343-0106. I got a question about, yeah, per axle. Well, actually, it's $6 for two axles, and beyond that, you pay more. Like we've talked about, if you're trailing a boat, even, I mean, not even commercial, if you're trailing your boat or something like that, it'll be more money. It goes back to, if we get all hung up in the, and I do it sometimes too, $6 versus $9 versus if you have a trailer, you get away from the bigger story here. And the bigger story is, are we being heard? We are being heard by Montgomery. We are being heard by the governor, but are they listening? I mean, you read the op-ed last week. You heard Representative Stringer yesterday. To me, it sounds like they are hearing, but not listening. But I think the simplest ask, don't you think it's a simple ask to say, hey, why don't we wait a little bit? I mean, the governor said, because this project's been a quarter century, it's been 25 years, therefore, we need to move now. To me, that statement, I agree with her. It has been 25 years, or at least 20 years of this project. For that reason, I would disagree with her and say, what is another year? What is it? Yes, it's 1/25. I get that. But what is another year in this project? To maybe see President Trump wins re-election, or even before that, if there's, let's say it happens beforehand. Let's say it is upon election that President Trump then has a renewed mandate and moves to the Democrats and says, hey, you're going to have to deal with me for another 4 years. Let's do something that we can all, you know, do big ribbon cuttings on and get our pictures made and do all that. And we're going to do a big infrastructure program for the country. We're doing this all over. And at that point, even though this is, goes, like I said, I'd like to reset the rules of the game in Washington, but I'm not going to do that. So you have to play within the rules that are in effect now. And within those rules, we need to get some of that money. And I imagine we would get some of that money with this project. So wouldn't we feel like complete suckers if we waited for, if we didn't wait, and all of a sudden, come January 2020, here's a giant infrastructure plan, and we realize y'all could have gotten half this thing paid for by the federal government. But no, 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 y'all had already signed on to do this other deal. So I don't know. It could be one of the small breaks inside what could be a story here of national reaction to what could be the harbingers of a recession coming. All right, 12:43, we come back. I take some calls, 343-0106. Coming up next hour, as I mentioned, Bryant Knight from the team Fight or Die. Remember the team that on purpose got themselves in a boat and rowed across the Atlantic last year? He's back in town for a little bit here at home, and he's going to join us in hour number two of the show to talk more about what's happening with Team Fight or Die. And maybe they can give us the Wubby. That's the name of the boat, and we could use the Wubby to do ferries across the bay. Which, oh, by the way, did you see that, Dalton? I saw it somewhere. I don't know who had the story that the city of Fairhope had said something about they would open a... Did I dream this? I know I saw it, that they would set up a ferry to cross the bay. Is that in response to the bridge? How much would the ferry cost? Oh, also on the way, who's getting money from whom in the Senate 2020 race? Did you know that ESPN was making donations to candidates in the state of Alabama? Well, that's information that's out today. We'll pass along to you when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Yeah, if you look at any of the websites here showing what the market's doing today, you see red till you get to precious metals, and then you see green. That's why we check in on that with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and always talk about the collectibles and the great gift items. But this is one of those days I got to talk precious metals with you, man.
Yeah, it's pretty funny when you're talking about yellow being green, because like you said, gold has been up, silver's been up, and they've been steadily climbing, and it's been very interesting to watch the overnight trading. You'll see it spike up, spike down, and then immediately rebound. So there's a lot of big money being moved around in metal right now.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And let's talk about, give people a quick primer on why that's happening. Why is it a hedge?
Well, anytime that the markets start to correct, they talk about this quote-unquote inversion, there's a recession coming along. Well, then a lot of people start putting money into precious metals, into hard commodities, hard assets. And those items tend to climb fairly rapidly, as we've seen with gold and silver. So if you have a bunch of cash or you've got a bunch of money into the stock market and you want to pull that out and put it into something, then that's what people are doing by buying gold and silver. They're putting it into a hard asset that's going to be growing while that stock market is dropping. And I also want to say something else, just real briefly. When prices jump like this and people start to panic and rush to buy, that's when you start to get a lot of those people calling you, trying to talk you into buying something that's not really what you're getting. So just be aware. Come into a brick-and-mortar store and talk to real people. Don't trust some of this stuff you're going to hear over the phone, because it's a little strange. I got a strange phone call this morning.
All right. I want to talk about this, too, that not to complicate this anymore, but within buying precious metal, you can also add the collectability or artistry to it. That's something you've taught me. There's just buying bullion, but then y'all can add another layer to this.
There are all sorts of different aspects to collecting. You can add the historic aspect that you and I have talked about and love. We can talk about that artistic beauty aspect, even some of the pop culture aspect. And we've got a lot of very reasonably priced items here in the shop. So we can show you everything from a basic piece of silver bullion all the way up to these 2019 proof restrike unicorn coins that just came out. We've got those in stock here at the shop. And there's all sorts of things in between. So whatever your passion, whatever your interest, we've probably got something here that's going to be really cool. It's going to be right up your alley.
All right. Give us directions. People want to come see you today. How do they find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Love to have you come by and say hey. If you can't get out today, check us out on the website, mobilebaycoins.com, or go on to Facebook and like and follow us there and check out some of the cool stuff.
All right, good stuff. Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, by the way, we're going to pick on, we're not picking on anybody, but let me point out. So, Robert had, because Robert, you, a lot of people still, because this toll thing is new to a lot of folks, a lot of people coming on board with this. Robert says, hey, put the toll booths far enough away from the bridge to effectively exclude daily commuters. That's not a thing. There are not going to be any booths. Remember, this is toll by plate. It's going to be camera system. So, it's not going to be, there's not booths with this. All right. Monty, everybody should invest in a hitch mount cargo hauler and ride around with the cooler blocking their license plate. It's a good move, Monty. It's a, I like that. Yeah, you put the old deer basket on there and put the cooler and block your plate. Let's see here. Yeah, so Tony says, imagine the pushback from out-of-staters when they get the $9 bill. There will be another Bounty Hunter TV program to collect the tolls. That's one of the things, too, that maybe, okay, Tony, I will say that in states that border, right, that there's probably some sort of reciprocity when it comes to trying to collect tolls for their state or whatever, there may be some additional teeth coming from a state angle. But yeah, if I'm a politician in Utah, am I going to pass a law requiring my people to pay a toll from back in Mobile, Alabama? No. What do you, listen, there's so many questions. What do you do? People say, well, what if you can't read the plate? Well, I don't know. I mean, you're getting, and it's fine. What you're saying is fine, and these are things to talk about, but stay focused on the big subject of just no tolls. Don't get, it's a fun diversion to talk about the, you know, well, what if this and what if this? I get it. But what we have to do is stay on target on the big subject here, and that's saying, hey, at least in my opinion, I'm a pro-infrastructure, pro-bridge person. I think it's a good thing. I want the bridge. But I don't think the plan as laid out to us takes any kind of nuance into a... It's either you go with the plan as laid out or it's nothing. I mean, as the governor rolled out, as John Cooper rolled out, either you're for the full freight tolls or you're against the bridge. That is not right. That's not right. That is a oversimplification of what we're talking about here. Let's go to the phones, grab a couple calls here. David is in Mobile. Yeah, David.
Sean, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm buying stocks.
Say, in my opinion, the only acceptable reason to delay this project would be is if everybody comes to a consensus on a redesign of the project that would basically maybe like build the bridge and six lane the current bayway and basically not have the interstate go through the tunnel at all. Because, and here's why, because plan it relies heavily on P3s, public private partnerships, where the federal government puts up 20% of the money and the rest is either state or or private money, which if we delayed, you know, we would only be in line for about another $375 million, which there's nothing to say that we can't get if we start before the infrastructure plan is passed anyway, because we do have that buyback feature where if we do find more federal money, we can buy back some of the toll.
Yeah, but you have to make up the interest for that. And I know you're a proponent of getting started with it now, but why, if this project has been 2.5 decades, what in the Sam hell does it matter if we wait through the next election cycle? You said only $375 million in additional? I don't know where you come from. That's real money to me.
I understand that, but I'm also getting behind an idea of basically Brendan Kirby floated towards to me, and that's build the bridge, connect it to the Bayway, and then disconnect the interstate from the Wallace Tunnel, and you can have it connect to the causeway if you wanted to, and basically just move the interstate to the bridge.
They're not going to do that. They've already said they can't. The P3 can't get his money unless they get you by the stuff there and make you go through one of the two of them and pay a toll. I mean, they said that in January on the show.
About six lane it, you basically eliminate over $1 billion of the cost of the project.
We'll see. And listen, there's actually, and I appreciate the call, Dave, what we could hear of it. There's Like I said, there's another shoe I think is going to drop on this very, very soon. It is one of those things that this is why we should wait. When I finally get to that point, I'll tell you this is why we should wait. All right, Kitty is in Fairhope up next.
Yes, yes.
Hey,
thank you very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I remember the county commissioner when I was a young girl living on a dirt road, and he was always under suspicion of some sort of kickback on gravel or something. So I think for the toll bridge, we should start a scheme to make it so ponderous accountability that they have to make accounting for every penny and give us a dead date as to when the bridge is paid off.
Yeah, see, and that's part of it. They won't do. They say it's a 55-year window, so if they get it paid off beforehand, it's not our business because the P3 is, they're taking the risk. So the deal as struck, if they do it, is they got 55 years to charge a toll. It doesn't matter when they pay it off.
I'm always suspicious of DOT. I don't know. Maybe it's built-in rebelism or something. But from hearing my folks talk about the condition of the roads and the problems when I was a little girl, it has always stuck with me. There's too much money involved all the way around, and the accountability of every penny, it must be so ponderous that they give it up because...
Death by a thousand cunts. I hear you. Kitty, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, Chris and others are asking, when's Congressman Byrne going to announce his plan? I think he's going to do that. Might be tomorrow night at this event at the Five River Center from 6 to 8. We'll talk more about that coming up. Bryant Knight joins us next. Y'all stay close.